Welcome back to This Week on the Kenai. With the top stories from Friday, here's KSRM's Anthony Moore.
Governor Mike Dunleavy signed a piece of legislation formally recognizing Alaska's 229 federally recognized tribes with the signing of House Bill 123, which doesn't impact the current legal status of Alaska tribes or change the state's responsibility or authority, but it does formally recognize Alaska's indigenous people. Alaska's First Lady Rose Dunleavy, who is Alaska Native, on Wednesday said,
"We're recognizing the important role that tribes of Alaska played in our past, our present, and in our future. Our history and culture is also Alaska's history and culture. It's one of sharing and one of a culture of service. Our people served Alaska and America. We've given our lives in service, even in times when we were not recognized as equal by our federal government."
The bill signing ceremony was held at the Alaska Native Heritage Center on Wednesday. By signing the legislation into law, it shows the state has a desire to foster engagement with Alaska Natives and tribal organizations. It was formally introduced last year and is similar to a ballot initiative that's set to go before voters this fall, but because this was signed into law, the ballot initiative therefore is not needed. The governor also signed a bill into law providing for the opportunity for tribes to voluntarily establish a state tribal compact school. Senator Gary Stevens, sponsor of Senate Bill 34, said,
"It's when a federally recognized tribal entity and the state come into a formal agreement to recognize the ability and the right of a tribal entity to operate and oversee their very own K-12 schools. That's what it's all about."
Governor Dunleavy, who himself has a background in education, said this is an innovative step to facilitate pilot projects between the state and Alaska Native tribes, adding it will create a new venue for preparing the children to be strong community leaders. Qualified voters of the city of Sultana will take a vote later this year on the issuance of GO bonds in a principal amount of not to exceed $15 million to finance the construction of a field house at the Sultana Regional Sports Complex. The ordinance was enacted by the Sultana City Council at their Wednesday night meeting, which sends the issue to the October 4th municipal election. Councilmember Jordan Chilson.
"Our vote tonight is a vote to advance this, to allow the voters in the city of Sultana to decide. We're not going to make that decision for them tonight. We're putting the decision in the people thing. I think it has a lot of potential benefits for everyone in our community, but at the end of the day, I do support this, but my vote to support this tonight is not to make that decision for our city. It's to allow our citizens to decide and advance it to the ballot."
Sultana Public Works Director Kyle Cornelis recently told KSRM about the building's design.
"It's a 42,000 square foot pre-engineered metal building. It's got various turf and sport court flooring so that it can accommodate a variety of different functions. It's a fully ADA accessible building. It's got an upper level track for walking and jogging, a general purpose room for party rentals and small events and things of that nature. So it's a very kind of a big open multi-purpose facility. It would be adjacent to the sports complex. There would actually be a connection facility that would connect the existing sports complex to this proposed new building. It would accommodate the entry to the sports center and the conference rooms, as well as an entry into the new building."
The field house project is estimated to cost about $19.5 million. That includes the site work, construction, inspections, and acquisition of the furniture, fixtures, and equipment. For more information on this project, RadioKenai.com.
This has been This Week on the Kenai, on the One, KSRM. You can find these top stories and much more news at RadioKenai.com.